following Evangelism Coach presentation is given by your host, Chris Walker, speaker, church consultant, international evangelism trainer, and principal writer at evangelismcoach.org.
Well, welcome to today's Evangelism Coach Expert Interview. I'm your host, Chris Walker of evangelismcoach.org, broadcasting here from my studio in a home office of Evangelism Coach International. And today, we've got Philip Taylor of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. We met by following each other on Twitter, which moved into an email conversation, which then moved into a telephone conversation. And as we spent time on the phone together, we discovered that we've got the same passions to help others have more spiritual conversations and overcome their natural fears. And recently I've been blogging on prayer and evangelism, and so I've asked Philip to give us a strategy on praying for other people as well as praying for yourself. So we're going to look at a specific application of prayer in the work of evangelism today. And so that's kind of our topic for today. And so let me welcome Philip to the show today. And so welcome to the show. And go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your role there with Ron Hutchcraft Ministries.
Chris, thank you so much. What a privilege to just share this time with you. And I've so much appreciated getting to know you and share a like passion that we have together. And I've spent just a lot of my life in the secular world and just recently really delving into full-time ministry. I've been with Ron for going into my fourth year now with him, Ron Hutchcraft. And our mission statement here really is twofold. We're very passionate about reaching lost people, and then we're also just as passionate about helping believers reach lost people. And it's that second part of our mission statement where I spend the majority of my time doing that through live events, some blogging, and some internet things, different creative ways that we're trying to use to help everyday believers feel confident in being a personal witness and sharing their faith with the lost world.
I hope that today's topic is going to be very helpful in helping people find that confidence, because prayer precedes evangelism. And so today's topic is particularly on evangelism and the fundamental work of prayer. So let's spend a few minutes and go ahead and share with us about how you have come to learn how prayer is fundamental to effective evangelism.
Well, you know, it's just that. Prayer is it is so fundamental to the spiritual rescue business that God is calling us into. And, Chris, it would be so easy for us to develop a mindset that says, you know, as long as I have a few really good scriptures memorized and I've got a few tips and techniques kind of stuck in my back pocket, that I'm going to be an effective witness for Jesus. And I'm just reminded that that this whole idea of sharing Christ and people coming to Christ is a work of God. It is supernatural in and of itself. And so there is a great dependence on God's Spirit for His leadership. And I'm just finding in my own personal journey that without prayer, I'm really just kind of going through the motions and trusting on what I can do. And in fact, the scripture tells us in John 6:33 that nobody can even think about God and have God ideas, have God desires without God's Spirit drawing them. And so I'm finding that prayer is fundamental in my own personal life and helping my heart be prepared and to be used by God. And I'm finding that it's also just as helpful to see how God uses prayer to prepare the person that He wants me to talk to. And I really see prayer also, Chris, as really the entry point of where God invites us into His rescue work. And we're all familiar with Luke 19:11. The scripture says that the Son of Man came to look for and to rescue the dying. And I ran across a great example of this. In fact, it's from September 11th. A man named Stanley Pramnath was working in an office on the 81st floor of one of the Twin Towers. And when the plane hit the building that he was in, Chris, he literally could see the wing of the plane come into the office above his head. And so he was buried in all kind of debris. A guy named Brian Clark was making his way down from a floor above him. And Brian has asthma. He's got a lot of dust allergies, could cause major problems with him, so he was having to find his way out as quickly as he could. But as he was racing down the stairs to get out, he could hear a man screaming for help on the 81st floor. Just so happened that it was Stanley. And Brian stopped, he dug through the debris, and he rescued him that day. And there was an interview with Stanley a couple of years after that on the second anniversary of the September 11th attack, and he said this. He said, "I am alive today because of the goodness of God and because of Brian." And I believe, Chris, that when we get to heaven, that's what we ultimately want somebody to be able to say of our efforts, that that we jumped in, we were willing to do whatever it took to help rescue people. And I believe that prayer is the beginning point, the entry point of where that rescue begins.
I've seen that in my own ministry as we, as I have an intentional effort to pray for people who are in my life, asking the Lord to give me opportunities to talk with Him. I find that the opportunities present themselves. And I also find that through prayer, I'm able to really connect with the heart of God for people who don't yet have a relationship with Him. And that is part of what drives me to pray even more. And then as I see answers, it encourages me in that work of prayer. And it keeps the passion high to be praying for those who don't know the Lord. In fact, in the city and where I live, I like to pray for my city. And often as I pray for the city and as I look at it from a vantage point where I'm able to see it, I find an intense connection with the heart of God. I want to be involved in helping others to find the Lord in the city in which I live. Now, I think that a lot of my listeners and readers of Evangelism Coach know about prayer. You know, but what I have found in interacting with them is that there's a sense of feeling clumsy when it comes time to actually spend time in prayer. In other words, they know the theology. They've got a core competency, but there's not a practice that goes with it. And so I think you've got an outline that maybe you can give us, an outline simply to give us a little bit of structure for praying along the lines of evangelism. Why don't you go ahead and share that with us?
Absolutely. This is a life-changing prayer, and I want to just preface what I'm going to introduce by saying that. If you're not serious about praying, if you're not serious about wanting God to take your life and use you in ways like He never has before, whatever you do, I can tell you from personal experience, do not pray this prayer. But if you are passionate about it, and if this does resonate with your heart, a very simple prayer that Ron Hutchcraft established straight out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is from the Apostle Paul, the man who spent his life rescuing others. And he says this. He says, "Pray for us that God may open a door for us, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And I pray, and pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should." So we're going to draw from that simple outline what we call the three open prayer. Number one, Lord, open a door. We just want to ask God to do that. Lord, would you open a door? Now, when we're talking about opening a door, what we're asking God to do is just open a natural opportunity for us to bring up our relationship with Jesus with someone else. It's not something that's contrived. There's not a lot of pressure in this. It's not a speaking of Jesus moment. But it could be something going on in their life. It could be something going on in your life, something going on in the world that just gives you the opportunity to talk about the Jesus difference in your life. So the first part of our prayer is, Lord, would you open a door? Secondly, Lord, would you open their heart? Lord, you've gotten me ready to talk to them. Now would you get them ready to hear the message through me? Would you do some things in their life that'll prepare them for the conversation that I'm going to have with them? Lord, would you open a door? And then, Lord, would you open their heart? And then finally, Lord, would you open my mouth? Chris, I just got to tell you, this has got to be where the rubber meets the road for me. It's probably the toughest part of this prayer that I pray and that I carry out. Lord, would you give me the words? Would you give me the courage? Would you give me the approach? Lord, would you open my mouth and speak through me, the three open prayer.
I think with the three open prayer that you got, you know, it is a outline. It's not the outline. And so I want to be sure to say that. But there are people who really just kind of need a structure to hang a hat on. And so this simple three-point prayer based out of Colossians 4 is very helpful. Open a door, open their heart, and open my mouth. The thing that I like about this is that it really helps us to be spiritually sensitive. And it's not so much, let me go study everything for the possible random question that I'm asked, but it is prepare me to hear the needs of their heart. And I really think that when we spend time praying like that, we find a lot more natural confidence to actually speak. Have you found that to be true for yourself?
I have, and you know, let me say, too, that there's plenty of room in my life to pray this on a much more consistent basis, Chris. But, you know, just for instance, I remember a particular week in mind where I literally went Monday through Friday without ever even praying this prayer. I mean, it never even came to my mind to pray this. And here I am. I go around and share this at seminars and things, and I went an entire week, and it just I let it slip past me. But I got up on Saturday morning of that same week. I had to get up about 3:30 in the morning to catch a flight that was a couple of hours away. And I remember just when leaving home, just taking a minute as I was driving down the road, and just said, you know, Lord, it's early, I'm tired, but if there's a way that you want to use me today, I pray that you would open a door, and I pray that you would open somebody's heart. And I pray that you would just give me words to say. By the time my flight left that morning, it was about 6 a.m. And lo and behold, God allowed me to sit next to a retired doctor who was also a musician. And he was on his way to Canada to write some music. And God allowed us to use the topic of music to eventually steer into a spiritual conversation. And we probably spent 20, 25 minutes just sharing together. And it was really a God moment for us on that airplane. So I can share numerous examples of when I've seen this at work in my own life, but that particular morning was one that was coming off the end of a week where I didn't pray at all. And coincidentally, I didn't see any opportunities in front of me during the week when I didn't pray that prayer.
Well, I think it's an accurate observation to make. On that particular day, it's kind of prayer helps, in a sense, kind of prepare you to have your eyes open during the day as well for the conversational opportunities that appear during the course of the ordinary day. But then also, prayer just kind of solemnly prepares the way. And I think you and I are seeing that as evidence of our own life. When we spend time praying for people and praying for those opportunities, they come. I've got a friend, for example, who recently attended one of my seminars, and he was... He had grown up in a tradition where he felt guilty that he wasn't doing enough in terms of evangelism, and so the thought of going to another evangelism seminar really turned him off. But he came because the pastor asked him to. And so he came with his guard up and everything. But as he began to hear, as he heard how I teach on evangelism, by the end, he was like, you know, I can do this, and I will take you up on your challenge. I will pray. And so... during the course of the next 30 days, he just spent intentional time praying. It probably wasn't every day, but intentionally praying, Lord, bring me the conversations. Open their heart and give me the eyes to see, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
When I followed up with him a couple of weeks later, or a month or two later, I said, how's it going? How many conversations have you had? And he was like, Chris, how do I turn it off? Because the number of opportunities that he was now seeing, because prayer had prepared him to look for those opportunities, as well as given him the grace and the courage to step into those opportunities when they presented themselves. And so I think you and I both see points in our own life where just being intentional about praying for those opportunities, open a door that I may proclaim the gospel as clearly as I should. And there are a lot of prayer structures or prayer outlines out there. I've got a couple on my website in terms of how to pray for people and things along those lines. And so what are some of the benefits that you found with regards to making a regular effort to pray?
Well, Chris, I found your example very interesting of the guy that just didn't want to go to the evangelism seminar. And I think that really... in the heart of many believers. They care about evangelism, but when it comes to attending a seminar or when it comes to them really actively going out and doing the things that that we know to do to reach people for Christ, there is a certain pressure that comes with that, almost in a negative sense, that I don't know what I'm getting into, I'm not adequately trained, I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs of how to make this thing work. And I've found with me that, and I've had others share this with me as well, that utilizing this prayer and it really coming from the heart just takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off of us of feeling like we have to go out and create some kind of an opportunity to share Christ. And it really, in a sense, puts the onus on God, if you will, trusting Him to open some natural doors and trusting that He's at work on the other end when those opportunities for conversation do come into play.
One of the things I just heard you say was that it takes the pressure off to manipulate or steer the conversation. And I think that's so true. In a recent survey that I did of my listeners, I had about 225 people respond, and one of the biggest fears or inadequacies that people volunteered that they had is that they didn't know how to steer the conversation, or they didn't feel comfortable manipulating the conversation to bring it to their starting point. And I think spending time in prayer, like you and I are talking about today, indeed relieves a lot of that manipulation, because you're just simply saying, Lord, open the door. Lord, prepare their heart.
Absolutely.
And then open my mouth. Yeah.
Absolutely, Chris. And even from the example I shared on the airplane, you know, I didn't get to the gospel, the core of the gospel message, and help that gentleman begin his relationship with Christ that day. And a lot of believers, I think, feel guilty, or they feel like they're not an effective believer if they're not, quote, winning people to Christ. This prayer for me helps bring that back into perspective, that it is the God-opened doors. And that I do have a role to play in that, and I do want to be obedient in that. But it does help remove that pressure.
It does, and I think part of it for me, one of the benefits that I find, is that by spending the time praying, I'm reminded of the sovereignty of God in terms of the whole links of the chain thing.
Yeah.
If I remember, you've got a post on your blog about the links of the chain, and likewise, I've now have a video on my website, a YouTube video that I made about the links in the chain, and you know, your conversation there with the gentleman on the airplane may be just one piece in all of the links that God is weaving together in that man's life.
Chris, and I've seen that video that you've done. It is an excellent video. I would encourage anybody, as you have the opportunity to go to Chris's website, take a look at that. It will encourage you to see how God wants to use your life. And I think that's one big hurdle Chris, that you and I in particular have the privilege of helping people overcome, is just the idea that God wants to use us. He wants to use our ordinariness, the simplicity of our everyday life, for eternal purposes. And I would say that kind of leads me into another benefit, if you will, from praying this prayer on a regular basis, is that it helps us recognize the opportunities that are in front of us. It's like you mentioned very early on in our conversation, it heightens our awareness of God's work around us. There was a businessman not long ago that began praying this three open prayer, and he shared with Ron Hutchcraft. He said, I started praying this prayer, and in one day I had three different people come into my office, and I had spiritual conversations with them. I gave them Bibles, and he said it got to the point where the next person that came in, I was like, Lord, is this another one? So my question is this really the first time that those opportunities were there, or is this maybe the first time that his heart began to be open to seeing them and to see what God was doing around him? And I think that's probably more so the case.
I would see that as well. As I've given seminars around the U.S., the people who take up the challenge, one of my homework assignments is to pray. And those that have taken up the homework assignment, they come back consistently saying, hey, I didn't realize that I had all these opportunities. And how do you make it stop? And things along those lines. And I think there is, I think you've got the right benefit there in terms of it heightens our awareness to seeing the people in line. Well, just recently I had to go stand in line for what felt like an hour, probably was more like 30 minutes, but still I was in there. And I just found myself praying for the people around around me. Now, I didn't have any conversations that day, but while I was in line, I used the time to just pray for the people that were around me. And that's one of the ways maybe to implement this during our life is as you're driving or as you're standing in line at the grocery store.
Oh, excellent examples.
To asking the Lord to give you a burden for those who are around you. And, of course, you really don't know anything about their spiritual state. And so you're not judging them for where they are. You're not thinking of yourself any better because you're a Christian. But you're just simply saying, Lord, bless the people that are around me. You know, bless the people that are in this line today. And if some of them are spiritually thirsty, Lord, help them find the water of life. If you want to use me today, have one of them start a conversation with me. And believe it or not, I find that sometimes that happens. People will start a conversation with me that will then turn into where they are spiritually thirsty. It doesn't happen all the time. But I think having that time to pray, and then one of the things I do in my seminar is say, hey, pray that people will start a conversation with you. And that seems to relieve a whole lot more pressure.
Well, and Chris, too, what I hear you saying is you're taking this idea of evangelism and you're taking it to the streets. I mean, it really is as simple as just God taking the everyday things of our life, whether we're traveling, whether we're at the supermarket. You know, it's not just the person on the platform with the microphone that has the title evangelist that has this role, this God-given opportunity to reach people for Christ and to be that link in the chain. It's you and I. It's the people. It's the soccer mom. It's the business dad. It's the teenager in the classroom. It's all of us and how God wants to use us as He uniquely places us around the people that He's preparing.
Indeed, and that's really the encouragement that I want people to have as they listen to our conversation, is to be that instrument of God's grace wherever they go in the ordinary course of their life. I mean, one of the phrases that I use in my principal seminar is that evangelism can be as normal as breathing. The idea that as you go about your ordinary day, while you are on your way, you know, you can have those spiritual conversations and help people, whether they're strangers or friends, make another step in their journey towards Christ.
What an encouragement to people who, Chris, who may be listening today, who may have written themselves off, who do not feel qualified, or maybe they feel disqualified. And interestingly enough, it's our credentials. Even that God wants to use as a bridge in the lives of other people who are broken and hurting, and it's those simple acts of obedience and just tuning into what God is doing. I had a great conversation with a pastor not long ago, and he asked me an excellent question. He said, "You know, we're talking about the local church," and he said, "You know what? What could a church look like that is truly passionate about evangelism and discipleship?" And obviously that's a huge question for a much much longer discussion than what we're going to spend on it today. But I shared with him that I believed that a church that's passionate about evangelism and passionate about discipleship is a church who basically sees each and every day as a year-round mission trip. You and I both have had the opportunity to participate in different mission trips and mission opportunities. And what do we do with those things? Well, as we prepare for those, we start reading the Bible like never before. We pray like never before with more fervency, more excitement, asking for God's power. We begin to prepare our hearts for spiritual warfare and all these type of things. We raise the bar of accountability with people, with the team we're going to be traveling with, or whatever the case may be. And the case I want to make is that a church that is passionate about reaching people for Christ will see, again, the everydayness of their life as a year-round mission trip. It's living life with that eternal perspective. And that I believe, is where I want to be personally, so that my life as a believer has true meaning and purpose. And I can just tell you, Chris, personally, that there was a long time in my Christian life where the pieces just weren't coming together. There was not a lot of meaning. There was not a lot of purpose. It was more about beliefs and external actions and things. But when God allowed me to begin seeing life with an eternal perspective, it changed everything about my life, and it changed the way that I approach life. And I believe that's what God wants to do in all of our hearts and continue to do in mine.
I think it's an awesome benefit to realize this, is that by spending the time in prayer, you begin to realize that you are on God's mission, you are on God's part of God's purposes, and it's not just something that you do if you go on an overseas missions trip, but each and every day can be seen as a chance to influence somebody's direction, influence somebody's direction towards Christ. And I know for me, that's part of what fuels my boat. You know, that's part of what gets me on planes to go to seminars, is to help people find that evangelism can be this normal, so that it's not just for the mission trips. That evangelism can be during the course of the ordinary day. And it gives a vital meaning to your faith. I think you know, the things that we do on an international mission trip, all of those things can be applied locally, particularly as churches seek to re-engage their neighborhood. And as individuals find significance in making a spiritual impact where they are. And so prayer becomes really the fountain of that, where you get God's heart for your local neighborhood as well, not just the country that one is visiting on a spiritual missions trip. And I think you mentioned that you've got one more benefit that you want to share with us.
I do, and this really brings my last point into focus, because when we start living this out on a daily basis among the people that we know, and I think that is really the key that I want to hone in on, it's one thing to go 1,000 miles away and share the gospel with people that we'll never probably ever talk to again. Now, that's a great thing. And I believe God wants us to do that when He opens the door for it. But it's, as you mentioned, it's that day-to-day interaction with people who also need Christ. And when that happens, I believe another benefit to praying this prayer and being open to being used by God in this way is that it raises the bar of accountability in our lives. And I'll be quite frank, I think that might be, Chris, one of the things that keeps people from allowing themselves to be used by God in this way, because maybe they're afraid they're going to blow it. Maybe they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. Maybe they're going to bring up Jesus one week and then criticize their spouse the next week. I don't know what the case may be, but it does raise the bar with us when we get to live out this life that God has given us, and then we begin to share it with other people. And you know, Chris, I'm reminded even in Psalm chapter 39, verse 1, the psalmist said this: I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth, listen to this, as long as the wicked are in my presence. There is a level of spiritual accountability that I believe God takes us to when we begin to live out, not just live out our faith, but we begin to talk about it. We begin to share Jesus with other people when God gives us the opportunity. And praying this three open prayer sets the tone for that and sets the stage for that to take place.
Well, awesome. I have found that, likewise, that there's a greater sensitivity to my own personal holiness when I spend time praying for other people, because I want to make sure that, you know, if I am sharing some of my faith with them, that I do live a life that is worthy of being imitated. And so that same idea of is how it plays out in my life, is that I'm just very aware of my own personal holiness and a desire to be holy in what I do. Well, this has been an awesome time on the phone with you today. And so to just wrap up, let me give you a chance real briefly to just summarize that three open prayer again, that kind of outline that people can hang a hat on to help them pray for their own work of personal evangelism. And then I got one or two more things to share, and we'll wrap it up.
That sounds great, Chris. And again, the three open prayer, very simple, is this: Lord, open a door, open a natural opportunity for me. Lord, open their heart. Would you be at work on the other end of this? And Lord, would you open my mouth? Give me the courage, give me the approach, give me the words to say.
Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and tell people where your website is so that they can find you and find more information about you, and then I'll wrap up with some of my stuff.
Absolutely. Chris, people can find us at Hutchcraft.com. That's HUTCHCRAFT.com. And you will find different things there, some blogs, some different resources, online tools available as well to help you fulfill your passion of reaching people for Christ.
Well, this is Chris Walker of EvangelismCoach.org, and we're very glad that you were able to join us for our expert interview today. Visit the website at evangelismcoach.org to see all sorts of resources and articles, over 700 articles at this point, on personal evangelism, church growth, congregational evangelism, as well as sign up for our newsletter so that you can get information about our free training webinars, as well as products that we have that you can use. That's evangelismcoach.org. Many blessings.
The preceding message was shared by Chris Walker, the main author behind evangelismcoach.org. For more materials on evangelism training and growing your church in the power of the Holy Spirit, or to request Chris to speak at your conference or event, visit the website at www.evangelismcoach.org.